here or at home as well. We're going to have Claire and Andy speaking to us. Claire's going to come first and then Andy. I'm going to ask those of us who are close to Andy in prayer, just to reach out your hand in blessing on both of them, and I'll just pray a prayer that all of us, either here in the church or at home, really receive a blessing from the Lord today. Lord, thank you for Andy and Claire. Lord, thank you for all the work that they've done in preparing this talk. Lord, may we just pray that their words would really find a home in our heart today, Lord, that they would bless us and encourage us with their own personal experience in the area of retreat, and that they would really encourage us to find time for you, Lord, and to find time, quiet time, where we can receive what you have for us. So bless them today, Lord, as they come to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello. Lovely to be with you all. It is strange, as Rebecca said, but it's lovely to be back and very conscious of the Zooming community with us too. So greetings and much love. So Andy and I are going to speak today about taking a longer times apart to be with God. And I will talk about what is a retreat and why take one. And Andy will give us more ideas of how to do this from his experience and that of others. But before I start, I want to highlight the central place that prayer, that our relationship with God has for all of us as individuals and indeed for our life together. We're sons and daughters of God. We're each called by name to live in the praise and reverence and service of our great God. And as Arthur said, we live in that wonder of insignificant significance. And as each of us walk with Christ in our lives in prayer, we do have the privilege of having our great God walking with us and speaking with us intimately as his children. And this does spill over into our life together, just as it has today. And in our sharing groups, we want to have a focus not just on giving us each other personal update and our news, but sharing more deeply how God is at work in my life right now. What God is saying to me, when have I been closest to the Lord and when do I struggle? And as we do this, we're sharing the Lord with each other. We come closer together in that way, and we come away encouraged and nourished. So coming back to our own relationship with God, if we use the analogy of our relationship with God being like a friendship, even if, you know, it's more than that because it's with God, a good friendship requires quality time, honesty, and ability for our relationship to grow as we grow and develop. And it's worth a thought about how is my relationship with God growing, and when did I last get some quality time with God outside of a prayer time? And especially, what has happened to my relationship with God over this time of pandemic? Has it a time where I felt closer to God in that silence? Or have I felt more distant? Have I felt that the whole relationship has been put on pause a little bit during this time? So it's in this context that we will speak about taking a time of retreat or an extended time with God. So first of all, what is it? It's a time spent apart from one's normal activities in order to focus intentionally on one's relationship to God in prayer. To pray, to take time alone with God, is part of many of our church's traditions, and it's certainly what Jesus did. A stepping back in order to move forward, a stepping aside from a normal, ordinary routine, to reflect and to pray, to slow down, to be still and to listen. The focus is on time out with God, not just time out, not just spiritual reading or teaching even, but some kind of engaging with God in prayer as well, and listening, a two-way listening. It might be a time that you just do on your own. It might be a guided retreat when you meet with someone once a day or even just once, and they listen to you and to how God is with you and offers some things that you might pray with for the next bit of the retreat. And both, I mean, any kind of retreat is great, and it's worth trying a guided retreat at some point. So where do we do them? Retreat time for some of us might seem out of reach, impractical. You know, time out to be with God might seem least possible, right when we most need that space. I remember as a mom with little children how difficult it was, but how much I loved even like a half a day out, you know, through Tom or my mom helping me to do that. In Mark's gospel, Jesus invites his disciples to make a retreat. Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. In Mark 6:31, come with me by yourself. Come to a quiet place. Come and rest. And Christ's invitation to solitude came in the middle of a really crazy time for him and his disciples. A time when he'd experienced rejection, a time when his cousin John had just been beheaded and he was, you know, had no space to process that. A busy time that even that none, they couldn't eat. And in this context, Jesus tells his disciples to come away and rest. You know, it's easy to think I'll do it when my life is calmer, when things are better. But in the midst of the stresses of life, Jesus is waiting for us. And there has been a felt need of time with God this year, as life has seemed so uncertain, and indeed so does. More people have actually taken retreat, and partly through online retreats becoming more accessible and being cheaper. Taking retreat might not be the only way of self-care we need as we emerge from this time of pandemic, but it might be one way. So yesterday, we had a day of retreat with the women in YPO and organized by the wonderful Monique in Surrey, in the home of a lovely Coptic Christian. And Sarah and others were gathering ladies. And it was really a blessed time. It was in a garden, and thankfully the weather was good. And it was a spacious place. That was Monique's word, you know, that God was giving us a spacious place. And it was a very blessed time. But several of those ladies said, I nearly didn't come. You know, Saturdays are rather precious. I nearly didn't come. And they were glad that they came because of the gift that God had given to them in that time. Retreats offer us a chance to go deeper in our relationship with God. As we take a time of retreat, the changes we've gone through, the unfolding circumstances of our lives are seen in sharper clarity. Of course, this might mean we have a certain fear or ambivalence of taking such time. You know, we might wonder if we will hit anything. We might wonder what is going to come out. We might wonder, you know, what that still small voice is going to have to say to us, what God might ask of us. But God knows and knows what we most need, especially when we're vulnerable. And God promises, I will be found by you. On retreats, we're given deeper insights into who we are, who we see ourselves to be, and how we perceive and encounter God to be, and what all these things have to say to each other. And during last year's spring harvest, Pete Grieg offered a great morning meditation called Finding Depth in a Time of Distraction. He quoted from Henri Nouwen, solitude is the furnace of transformation. It's the place of the great struggle and the great encounter, the struggle against the compulsions of the false self and the encounter with a loving God who offers himself as a substance of the new self. We can all sometimes hide from God's presence at times, like Adam and Eve in the garden. But in a retreat, we let ourselves be found by God. We give space in us to hear those questions that search us and transform us. So, you know, where are you, said God to Adam and Eve in the garden. Or what are you looking for, said Jesus to the disciples of John the Baptist. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus said to Bartimaeus. and there is space for God to come to us as only God can. Retreats do involve at least some degree of silence, and we can have mixed attitudes to silence. You know, on the one hand, we desire it. On the one hand, it's so hard to slow down. It's so hard to disconnect. But silence is the best way to hear God, and it was lovely to hear already how Mags brought that out in the meeting, and Mimi as well. We give ourselves a gift. Yesterday afternoon, we gave ourselves a gift, 3 hours of silence, where we were accompanying each other in stillness, in listening to the Lord, but giving each other space. And it was amazing. After the 3 hours, there was so much noise, but it was joyful noise, and the time of silence was blessed. Retreats will look very different for each of us because of our different personalities, age, circumstances. For one person in retreat, taking time to review the last year, time to seek the Lord, will be really important. For another, they have so much gratitude that they just want space to process it. For another, they've just been, you know, so crushed by the last year, and what they most need is a healing space to be found by God, to be loved by God, to come home. And I've certainly had retreats that have been like all three of those, you know. So we all need different things. But common to any retreat is an opening, a deepening, an integrating of our hunger for God, our humility, and our response to his transforming love. Each retreat we take will be a different experience because our journey with God is dynamic and changing. But each will offer a gift, like a light shining on the path ahead, and giving us strength for the journey ahead. Look at Elijah, you know, when he was at the end of his tether, he just needed rest and strength. And then God strengthened him again and gave him food for the journey to go on again and to hear the voice of God in the cave. Val was sharing with that with me recently. It's a lovely insight, and it shows how we need those times to go on for the next step. Entering a retreat, whatever our experience of it, something new will have been added to our relationship with God. Perhaps a new way of praying, perhaps help in getting past a place where you have been stuck with God for a while. Perhaps a word from God that will speak into the time ahead and even make sense months after the retreat itself. Or space to discern a new direction from God. We see Jesus doing that after one such prayer time on the mountain. He comes down and he knows what they should do next. So taking retreat is an invitation to come away with Christ and rest and be changed by spending time in God's presence. And I will hand over to Andy.
It might seem, why do you get a servant of the word giving the practice? That's unfair. Aren't they professionals at this retreat stuff? But, you know, I look at it a different way. I think Claire is a professional. She runs retreats. She's been trained in giving Ignatian retreats. And I think what she just said in a certain profundity of it and summary of it is a great way to look at retreats. I'm mostly going to share from experience. Very practical, but I think it's common experience rather than just experience of someone who's got a little bit more time than most of us have to do this retreat thing. First thing I want to do is share some practice. And the very first practice is retreats don't happen by accident. You have to plan. If you don't plan a retreat, it's almost never going to happen. It could. You could find yourself on a desert island and be so relaxed about the desert island that you took a retreat. But I wouldn't plan on that being your plan. I would actually make a plan for a retreat. So first practical thing, plan for one or it will never happen. The second practical thing I would say is don't expect it to be just your perfect experience. Whatever the experience you think a retreat should be, God's imminent presence with you all the time may not be exactly what happens at all and isn't my normal experience of taking time aside a retreat. But God will be there as you set aside time to be in his presence, to present yourself, to be with him, to present the questions you have, the decisions you need to make before him. Claire said this, but it can be that a retreat can be refreshing and relaxing, but it's not a holiday. If you need a holiday, take a holiday. But a retreat will bring refreshment, but it won't be of the same sort. And partly won't be of the same sort because it takes a certain amount of energy and discipline to actually make a retreat happen. You will receive back. You will receive from the Lord. Of course you will. But don't think of it as a holiday or even just simply as time off, although you can take time off as a retreat in a time off. God will be there with you. The next practical point is, by preference, even though staycations have become the norm and stay retreats could become the norm, if you've got the option, and by grace of God, we soon really will have more options than we've had the last year and a half, go away, leave home, run away, get out of here. It's not that being at home is in any sense a problem. It's just that retreats seem to work better when you, guess what, retreat. Well, you could say retreat back home, but I'm suggesting retreat away from home as that's the normal day-to-day life so that you take a special time or time away with the Lord. So go away. I'd also recommend if you do it, you write some things down. Maybe to start with, you write down, why am I doing this? Make it clear to yourself, what is it, Lord, I'm looking for here? That doesn't have to be the case. You don't have to go into a retreat with a written down 3-point purpose. But it can help if you do. And it can also help you as you're going through the retreat and as you're listening to the Lord to hear him well. And of course, the other side of writing down is writing down what happens and what you learnt. Don't let it just sort of fritter away. Some sort of written record can be really, really helpful. So those are my simple practices. I think they would apply to everybody who might want to take a retreat, be they retreat professionals, be they retreats, people who've got more time in their lives or more flexibility like us, the servants of the word, or be they working people or working mums or whoever else in their working in their day-to-day situations. I want to share now just a few reflections on different sorts of retreats you can take. The first two are my experience, are different sorts. First one is, get a little dazzled by the light here. I'd say, as Claire said, the heart of a retreat is taking time away with the Lord where we can engage him in relationship. For me, one of the ways I do that is I go out for long walks. And I have some space in my life to do that. Maybe it's a 3-hour walk. And a good part of that, I am just in the Lord's presence. And I experience that as a retreat, partly because I choose to make it a retreat. I choose to look for the Lord. I choose to thank him for the beauty I see around me. I choose to just delight in his presence with me as I walk, as I wander the hills, the Chilterns, or the North Downs, or wherever it is, or within the M25 during my lockdown, trying to define what staying local meant. And yet, in being on my own, because those often are on your own, it is a retreat. There's something about the solitude to allow yourself space to recognize and engage the relationship with our Lord in prayer, in being with him, in being out with him. I try to do that day to day as well. I'm not so good at that because, like all of us, I get very distracted. But one simple day-to-day thing I do is if I walk to the tube, and I used to do this more practically when I used to walk rather than cycle to the tube. Cycling and praying is not quite so successful, I've discovered. But walking and praying is easier. And just that walk to the tube up to North Acton, for example, choosing to turn that little 15, 20-minute walk to the Lord and pray. And say, Lord, be with me here. Lord, pray for that person I see over there. And that might not be what you'd regard exactly as a retreat, but I would say it's a way of claiming all parts of your life as you go through it as his. And not letting him just be, you might say, in the more deliberate parts of your life, your morning prayer, your time at church, your evening meditations, which are all good and profound, but taking those opportunities where there is small space to do that and turn to him. I know, actually, that for some of us, that's probably one of the losses or the small losses of doing all our work from home. We actually don't have any of those little moments when you're moving and you don't have to focus on one deliberate thing or the other. But as you have those spaces, I put that idea to you. Take those as a way of taking a retreat in the moments of your life. I'm personally not a big one. I don't, for more formal day retreats, I have nothing against them. It's just I'm not very good at them and I haven't found a pattern for them. But I know many here in our community have found going away to a retreat house is a great way to do it. I think of Rebecca and Monique and Mags who've all done that in recent times. Going away for a weekend. I mean, that may sound impossible to conceive of for some of us, but it's possible. And I can mention some very busy people who've gone to, for example, St. Bino's, Keith Pullen, Dan Turner, Bob Bell, and Claire herself shortly will be going to a retreat in St. Bino's in North Wales as one example of a place where you can go and take time. Retreats are places where you can move forward decisions. You can move forward your steps and your walk with the Lord. You can put yourself in a good place to make good decisions, even if you don't actually bring the decision itself. You present yourself to God. In this last year, Lent 2020, just before COVID hit, Gregory Potter and I took Gregory through something we call a D7, which is a seven-day retreat to help you take decisions that many of us here will have been through if we're on the younger end. And D7 just is a way of helping people put their lives before God systematically and then bring the questions they have to him. Similarly, I took Peter Landers through one earlier this Lent because he was living in our house, and that was very, very possible, and I think Peter found that very fruitful. There are many ways to do retreats. There are many places we can claim in our lives which become retreat-like if we're willing to. But a first step is us deciding, yes, I want to take a retreat. And then if it's not just those smaller times in lives, but it's a more deliberate day or weekend, planning it in, putting it into our diaries. And what I can guarantee, and I know I'm not one for guaranteeing on God's behalf. Why would I be doing that? But I think it's a reasonable thing to guarantee, and God would agree, that if you set aside time specifically to seek him, that if you put your life on the line and present your decision seriously to him, God will be there, God will meet you, and God will bless you and allow you to move forward on the next steps or just the continual journey of each of our lives. Amen.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Andy. I think many of us live our lives around the academic year, and maybe it isn't an accident that we're hearing this talk at the end of an academic year, and therefore, maybe for some of us, we're more able to respond to the Lord at this point in our lives when he says, come away with me. So I'll just leave that for us to ponder as we think about that talk. Pete's going to lead us in